behind. And of course, many things happened since then. But the Lord just, I checked this lesson. I said, yeah, I must preach this lesson. So anyway, if you go to John 15, so what we're going to do, I'm going to read the passage. And again, I'm going to ask you if you could stand in your home. And I know many of you won't, but in obedience to the Lord, and I tell you why, I cannot see you. You can see me, but I cannot see you. And let me tell you, in obedience to the Lord, you could stand for the reading of God's word. And when I pray, I will pray for the giving. I just want to encourage you, God's people, even though we close, let me tell you, our utility bills still go on, our rent still go on, and I hope that you understand those things. So for our church people, I encourage you to give your tithes and offerings. You can go to our website, eastbaybaptistri.com. There's a button there you can follow, give online. You can send to our P.O. Box office, 14545 East Providence, Rhode Island, 02914, or bring it next Sunday, and everything would be great and wonderful. All right, so I'm going to read the passage. We're going to pray. I will pray for, of course, like I did this morning, for those who are sick among us. I will pray for the giving, and I would pray for our message, and we will move on, okay? With that said, I just need a couple things here. So if you have a Bible, if you be so kind, if you have a Bible there where you are in your own home, if you have a Bible in your phone, if you have a Bible, a paper, but whatever you have, to have God's Word. If you could stand, if you can stand, turn to John chapter 15, verse 1. And of course, it is a popular passage. And of course, we're going to talk to Christians tonight primarily. So let's look at this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, and that he may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit on itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And it says, and it continues to go, I lost my verse 6, it says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and it withered. A man gathered them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Wherein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so that ye be my disciples. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness and your love and mercy. Thank you, Father, that you're always there, don't matter where life takes us. Lord, there are many times in our lives, in ups and downs of lives, that even our minds get full of uncertainty, and sometimes we don't even know what direction to go in life. But Lord, we thank you that you are our guide, that you love us and care for us. And tonight, Lord, there are things that we have in our hearts, not just in my heart, I believe in the heart of our people as well, things that we cannot control. But Lord, we love you, and you know that you love us, and you will take care of us. Tonight, Lord, I pray, Lord, Father, for Jim Valcat. Pray for healing for him, for his wife as well, for Heather. Lord, I do pray for Donna. I pray for Ray in the hospital. Pray for those people that you help them. I pray that you heal their bodies. Lord, I pray for Chrissy. I pray for Caitlin as well. They are in their homes, and I pray that you heal their bodies as well. Lord, I pray, Father, for my wife. Pray that you heal her body. Pray for my mother-in-law, Jill Cadet, as well, that you heal her body from this COVID, Lord. I pray for Steve and Batsy as well, that you would heal them from this COVID. Pray, Lord, if it's someone else in our midst that is sick that I don't know of, I just pray, Father, be with that person in this very special way tonight. Lord, I pray for the giving, that you bless the giving. Pray for your people, they will be obedient and given to you what belongs to you, Lord. And I pray for our missionaries, bless and guide each one. And Lord, as I preach tonight, Lord, give me the words to preach to the people that are watching us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So it was a little long prayer. I kind of did everything. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to next Sunday and to be with you, anticipating being with people. It's very hard to preach to empty pews. Very, very hard. Let me tell you, tonight we're going to look at Learning with the Master, and the title of the message tonight is Learning with the Vine Dresser. Learning with the Vine Dresser. Well, I want to remind you tonight of something, and you already know. Actually, that was interesting because I totally forgot about it. I'm going to tell you, this is a funny story. I went to Dunkin' Donuts after I came to the Valkette's house, and I said, I wanted to buy something. So I drove, went to the drive-thru, and this guy at the drive-thru looked like Caesar, the Roman, and the Roman emperor. And I was like, I looked at him, I said, well, he looked like Caesar. I said, well, people are telling me that. I totally forgot it was Halloween. Totally forgot. I had no clue that why this guy was dressing like that. Then it dawned on me, I'm like, oh, it's Halloween day. Oh, my goodness. I wouldn't even think about it. But let me tell you, I do not care about Halloween. It doesn't bother me about Halloween. It is a pagan day, and I don't celebrate it. So anyway, again, let me tell you something. You might agree and disagree with me on this one, but I'm going to say it. Okay? Because I tell you what, you either pattern yourself after me and trust me as I trust the Lord. And I tell you what, I have a problem with trunk or treat that some churches are doing. I do have a problem with that. Because that's how things get in. Halloween has nothing to do with God and church. And I move forward with that. To my lesson, I do have a problem with trunk or treat. We try to make it sweet. I tell you what, to me, still a pagan night. We talked about a man possessed by demonic forces this morning. Demonic forces. So tonight we're going to look at Christian living, learning with the vine dresser. Now, most of us here tonight, well, most of us tonight, maybe some of, or even those of you following on social media, like all of you following on social media, don't really understand how much most of us, even you out there, let me tell you this, most of us do not really understand about vines and vine dresses. We go to the grocery store, we buy our grapes, we don't think much about it. We just buy our grapes in the bag. Some of us even might taste the grape, but we don't know what entails to get those grapes even there. Let me tell you. I watch my one person that's called my grandfather many, many years ago, and when I was a kid, and I used to watch him on how he used to prune and take care of the vines, because in a Portuguese culture, vines, it's a predominant thing. A lot of people have one. I guess I'm not that Portuguese because I don't have one. But anyway, but what I'm trying to tell you tonight is this. Most of us, for in a safe way to say, don't really understand much about vines and vine dressers. So, here, of course, in this chapter, Jesus is trying to give us an object lesson. Of course, he's doing to his disciples and goes to us. But Jesus is picture for us what is a true vine. It is to imagine, we have to imagine that what Jesus is trying to say to you and me here tonight as the vine dresser. So, in this chapter, of course, Jesus is trying to transmit this thing. So as they walk towards the Garden of Gethsemane here, Jesus began to talk to his men about vines and vine dresses and fruit. What prompted this teaching, I would ask? There are several possibilities. No doubt they would have passed near the temple, which had grapevine carved in its doors, They may have passed through the golden gates, which also had gorgeous vine carved in it, of vines. And of course, it was April, and that means that the grapevines were beginning to blossom in the promise of a fresh harvest. So whatever was that got Jesus' attention, Jesus used that object lesson to convey a bigger story so the disciples will get it. So this symbol, the symbol of the nation of Israel actually was a vine. You say, how you know that? Well, if you have a Bible, go to Psalm chapter 80, verse 8. Go to Psalm chapter 80, verse 8, and look what it says there. And thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, thou hast cast out the heathen and planted. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and is filled the land. And the hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof, they are like goodly cedar. So the same truth is seen in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Go to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. I want you to look in your Bible there at your home tonight. Look what it says. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-loved the song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-loved at the vineyard and in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered in out the stones thereof and planted in the with the choice vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a vine press therein, and he looked and that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. So unfortunately, this vine had to was not lifted up to his intent purpose. Actually, in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, says this way, yet I had planted a tree there, a noble vine, holy and a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Of course, Israel is an empty vine, even as today, as we speak. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He had increased the altars according to the goodness of his land. They have made goodly images. So, therefore, God has sent, let me put it this way, about the vine, and about what Jesus is trying to picture here for us to grasp, is that he is the vine, he is the vine dresser, and we are the branches. Whatever prompted this teaching that night, it is clear that his desire was to teach them and teach you and me tonight the most vital relationship they have in their lives, the one with Jesus and his Father. I'll tell you what, we can have great relationships in this world, but the greatest relationship that you and I can have is a relationship with the vine dresser. We might ask ourselves, why did Jesus give them this teaching now? The answer is simple. You ready? They need it. Why am I teaching to you this lesson tonight? Why am I not teaching you about some Halloween story? I'll tell you what, you need the lesson as well. So do I. These men have just been informed that Jesus was going away, but that his work is going to continue, and that is to continue through them and their lives. Let me tell you this. Jesus went to heaven, and Jesus wants you to, as if you are his child, to work for him. To carry on the baton, and to tell the world about Jesus, and to live in such a way that the world will look at you and say, that person has something that I want. Now, in the mean way, they're just the way you live your life. So these men have just been informed that Jesus was going away, of course, and Jesus told them many times that he was going to depart. So if they were to carry out the work of the Lord, they needed to know how to produce that kind of fruit in their lives. So Jesus wanted them to know that the only way they could be fruitful for the glory of God was to abide in him. Who's him? The true vine. Oh, folks, how many people leaning in all kinds of vines out there, but not a true vine. Today we are some 2020 years removed from that night, but the work of the Lord continues. God is still working through the followers of Jesus Christ to accomplish His work and will in the world today. We might be thinking that things are out of control, that God lost control of this world, and that we don't know what God is doing. Let me tell you, God is still sitting on His throne. God is still in control. And the ones who are out of control is us, not God. No. And when the time has come, He will come in full control and full power to come and to gather His church. God didn't lose control. Man is out of control. So today I want to share with you a few simple lessons that we can learn from the Lord. These verses teach us that we can be fruitful branches for the glory of the Lord. You can be a fruitful branch. You can say, I don't have much to offer God. I am a simple person. I am an unlearned person. I am an uneducated person. I don't much, not much to offer God. Let me tell you, you have everything to offer God. Everything to offer God. I tell you, I read a story one time that I never forgot because it was an autobiography of a young lady. And I tell you what, it touched me when I read. And I said, oh man, if this woman can be used of God, how much can I? Let me give you the story. Some of you might remember, but you know what? I want to share with you. This young lady was about, I believe she was 18 years old or 17, around that age. She was very well known in the church. She was a Christian, saved by the grace of God. She served the Lord. She was very gifted. She did many things in the church, like she played piano. She sang. She served. She did all kinds of stuff until she got to a car accident. And she, the result of the accident, she got paralyzed. She was put into a wheelchair. And let me tell you, she didn't complain. She didn't give up on God. In those days, actually, with an autobiography, with what it says, she actually, every day, she would spend countless hours in a wheelchair, going to the phone book and dialing numbers, and telling people about Jesus. Well, if Jesus can use a person in that condition, I believe that Jesus can use you where you are. And folks, it's not that He won't use you. It's that sometimes we refuse to be used of the Lord. Joseph, I think I'm not on. I'm on? Okay. So let's look at this from several points tonight. This evening. Are you ready? If you have a piece of paper, if you have a pen, if you want to write it down, if you want to follow the outline, I'll go slow enough so you write it down. Number one, learning about a strong relationship. Learning about a strong relationship. Look what it says in verse 2 of John chapter 15. Look what it says. Every branch in me. Now keep in mind, listen, one of the things that I noticed about some people is that we read, but we don't try to comprehend what we read. And some people have poor reading comprehension because they don't pay attention to what they're reading. Let me put it here. Watch the words in those verses. You need to have a Bible so you can look at it. Look what it says. Every branch in me. Obviously, Jesus is talking about a relationship. He says right here, in me, that beareth not fruit. He, who's he, the vine dresser, take it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, look what it says, he purge it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Now, it is good when we as Christians, when we open God's word, is one thing that I learned. Always get a piece of paper and a pen and write questions. If you have questions, write it down. Look what it says. Every branch in me. Who's me? Is a question right there. That beareth not fruit. Okay, is another question. And it goes right here, right there. And it says that it bring more Ask questions. That's how we study. That's how we have reading comprehension. All right. Don't you know, learning about a strong relationship, strong, good, let me tell you this, good, strong, healthy relationships, are you ready? Don't happen overnight. You cannot build a strong marriage overnight. It just doesn't happen. You cannot build a strong relationship with a friend overnight. It just doesn't happen. Relationships are built up. It could be a father-son relationship. It can be a mother-daughter relationship. It can be a mother-son relationship or father-daughter relationship. It can be a husband and wife relationship. It can be a friend relationship. Whatever relationship is, it takes work. Right? It takes work on both sides. You cannot build a relationship by yourself. On both sides. Jesus, in this passage, is using an object lesson, teaching us that he wants to build a strong, healthy relationship with us. Listen, God's desire is to build a strong relationship with us. The problem is us. We don't want nothing to do with him many times. So, folks, people strive for relationships. We live in a world where people strive to be wanted. People strive to be loved by somebody. People strive to be important. It's all kinds of stuff. And people go out of their way. Let me tell you, folks, people strive for relationships. But remember, relationships are built by more than one person. You cannot build a relationship by yourself. Actually, we were not created to be alone, but to communicate and to interact with people. You know how many times, my wife can testify to that I have said, I would live by myself very happily in a desert island, and I would be happy for the rest of my day. I said that many times. But you know what? That is wrong thinking on my part, because we were built for relationships with people. So, now, what happened about our having a relationship with God? Well, that is this what this passage is about. Jesus is teaching us an object lesson about a relation, what a relationship is, and how it continues, and how it strives. Let me tell you this, not just I'm going to build a relationship, but how to build a relationship, how that relationship can continue, and how that relationship can strive, not just die down. Are you ready? So let's look there on our first point. On that first point, the sub point is letter A. It is a personal relationship. Look what it says in verse 2, in me. In verse 2, Jesus used the phrase and or the words in me. Jesus is telling us that he is speaking here to people who are in a vital relationship with him. He's not talking to lost people here. He's talking to saved people here. He's speaking to those who are saved. Now, no one can consider a branch of the Lord or can be a branch unless that person is saved or is connected to the vine. No one can bear fruit for the glory of the Lord unless they are attached to the vine. No less than six times in this passage or in these verses, Jesus uses the word or the phrase, the words, in me. He's talking about a situation that is absolutely necessary for life and fruit bearing. If you're not in Jesus, you cannot bear fruit for Jesus. It's very simple to understand. So, how that starts? Number one, it starts with salvation. Are you saved? How does one a person get saved? It's very easy. Admit that you are a sinner, repent of your sin, and ask God to forgive you. It's that simple. So that's this relationship with Jesus starts as salvation. This is the Bible way of salvation. Look what it says. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that says this way. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart men believe it into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is that simple. Now, there are plenty of people in this world who are very religious. There are plenty of people in church. Oh, yes, there are great intentions in the hearts of many people. But if you're not in Jesus, you do not belong to Jesus. You see, salvation is more than just being religious. Salvation is more than just reading a Bible. Salvation is more than just say, I believe in Jesus. Salvation is the beginning of a vital relationship with God. So salvation is a relationship with Jesus. Religion doesn't fit in a relationship. Some say, what do you mean? You mean that I'm not a Christian? I wouldn't say that. I was baptized when I was a baby. I got my first, second communion. I got my confirmation. I go to church once in a while. I even give money and tip the preacher. What do you mean I'm not a Christian? Folks, nowhere in the Bible you find the passages on which will teach you that salvation is true religion. It's just not. Salvation is through a relationship with Jesus Christ, far from religion. No one can be a fruitful branch for the glory of God until they have a vital, life-giving connection to the vine. Without that vital connection, there is no life. Your Bible says you're still dead and your trespasses and sins. People don't like to hear those things these days. People don't want to hear it. But the truth is this, without Jesus, you are dead in trespasses and sins. So my first point tonight was learning about a strong relationship. Number two, you have your pen and piece of paper, write it down. Learning about fruitfulness. Learning about fruitfulness. Folks, we are talking about grapevines and grapes. That was something that was very popular to his disciples. I'm sorry. Jesus, the master teacher, used many objects to convey a big picture in the minds of his listeners. Jesus, let me put it this way. If I love the Gospels. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is the Gospels, you would notice over Jesus that is very, very simple on his teachings. And he really uses very basic stories to convey a great meaning. Because what Jesus is trying to do is to grab the mind of people to interact and to try to understand heavenly things. Jesus is the great master teacher. And he uses right here simple grapes to convey a big story. Of course, he's talking to his disciples here. He's talking to people that he's teaching here. So learning about fruitfulness. Listen, folks. We cannot produce fruit for the Lord unless we are attached to the vine. Remember that he is the vine and we are the branches. And that the branches take the nourishment from where? From the vine. So there, a sub-point there under that second point is the purpose of the vine. The purpose of the vine. The vine have one distinct purpose. What is that? To bear fruit. But if you will notice, the vine itself does not bear fruit. The vine delegates the fruit bearing to the branches. Listen, if you look at a grapevine that is attached to the ground and the roots are in the ground, the vine itself does not bear any fruit. The branches do. Did you ever seen a grapevine? If you see a grapevine, you have the if you you have the branch what goes to the dirt. Of course, the roots are there. That's where the grapevine got the nourishment. And you have this these vines that spread out. Then out of the vine that spreads out, you got the branches. And that's where the fruit is. So the vine delegates the fruit bearing of the branches. So unless the branches are attached to the vine, there's no fruit. The vine has fruit, and its fruit is the branches. So it is with Jesus. He came to this world to die on the cross for the sins of fallen man. His fruit is the souls saved by his grace. His fruit is believers. His fruit is those branches that have been grafted into unto him by his grace. His fruit is us, and he has delegated us to be fruit bearers. Let me tell you this. How you doing in that department? Are you bearing fruit? When a branch is grafted into a fruit tree, it receives its life from the tree, but it continues to bear its own kind of fruit. For instance, if you graft a branch from a pitch tree into an apple tree, that branch is grafted and it will continue to bear peaches, not pears. However, when a wild branch is grafted onto Jesus, the Jesus Christ, the true vine, that wild branch receives a new nature. That lost sinner who comes to Jesus for salvation receives from the Lord a brand new nature. In fact, he receives a divine nature. So that branch gets transformed. Now it's going to be a fruit bearing. Let it be under that point. The purpose of the branches. The purpose of the branches is to bear fruit. You will notice that God in these verses indicates that he expects us. Listen, he doesn't suggest us. He expects us to bear fruit. That's why he prunes the branches. The vine dresser goes around and he prunes the branches with a purpose. And what's that purpose? So they can bear not fruit, but much fruit. You will notice that there will be a progression in our fruit bearing. Look at verse 2. No fruit. Then you see fruit. Then you see more fruit. And if you go down to verse 8, it says much fruit. I get it from this, that God expects us always to be growing in the fruit-bearing process. When we speak of bearing fruit, what do we mean? When we speak of bearing fruit, what do we mean? What will be produced in our lives when we yield to God? How will we know if fruit is being produced through us? There are three types or three basic fruits that the Lord bears in the lives of his children. You ready for them? I'm going to give it to you. Because sometimes we think that this bear fruit is just getting people saved. Part of it, but that's not all true. The number one fruit is this, the fruit of sanctification. Look what it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And you see this in also in Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. So sanctification, we all know as Christians, it's a lifelong process. Some Christians have never heard of such a word. It is a lifelong of bearing fruit. The more you lean on Jesus, the more fruit you will bear. I tell you what, some Christians are not very interested in bearing any type of fruit. How sad is that? I tell you what, those 12 men, besides one, that walked with Jesus and was part of Jesus' ministry, those are the men that Jesus was talking with them. And let me tell you, they became great fruit bearers. Only if we understand what Jesus is talking about here. So, we continue to sanctify ourselves so we can have a closer walk with the Lord and look more and more like Jesus. Looking like Jesus in our speech. Christian, how is your speech? Is your speech seasoned with salt? Do you give grace to the hearers when you open your mouth? Or you cause people to run away from you because they can't stand you? I'm not trying to be picking. I'm not trying to be hard on people. I'm telling you, we ought to be looking more like Jesus in our behavior. How do we behave in this world? How do we behave amongst lost people? How do we behave amongst God's people? Looking like Jesus in our relationship to others. Looking like Jesus in every aspect of life. Let me tell you, that's the fruit of sanctification. You say, oh, I can't help myself. I go up 5 steps and I go down 8. Let me tell you that. A lot of times we can't help it. We can. We just don't want to. We are having too much fun playing with sin. So we don't want to be fruitful in the department of sanctification. Number 2, the second type of fruit that we Christians produce is this. Go to Galatians chapter 5. I want you to see the second type of fruit that we Christians, if we have get the nourishment from the vine, if we are attached to the vine, look at the fruit that we produce. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The second one is the fruit of the Spirit. Look what it says. This is we behave more like Him. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, look what it says, is love, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there's no such law. Let me tell you this. Is that the fruit in your life? When you, as you walk in this world and live in this world, are you a person whether you people see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? You have that in your life? If you don't have that in your life, let me tell you, you're not producing fruit. Because we have a tendency to think that this fruit that we produce is just winning souls for Christ, which it's just part of it, but far from the truth. If I'm attached to the vine and if I'm taking nourishment from the vine, I'll tell you why. The fruit of the Spirit is seen in my life. I'll be a person that I will show love. I'll be a person to walk around in joy and have the joy of the Lord in me. I have the peace of God flowing through my veins. I am long-suffering. I'm gentle. I express goodness. The goodness, it comes out in my actions, in my words, in my attitude towards God and people. I have faith in God. I believe God no matter what. I am meek means power under control. I have a sense of understanding, not believing every wind of doctrine that is out there. Be careful with the videos you're watching on YouTube. Be careful. I'm meek. I understand right and wrong. When a problem arrives, I go to God's word and I got my answers from His word. I tell you what, temperance, and the Bible says against this such there is no law. There's no law. There's no law of joy. I can experience all these things because you know what? The more I attach myself to the vine, the more I take nourishment from the vine, I'll be a fruitful person, not just winning souls to Christ, but I will grow in my sanctification, and people would see the fruit of the Spirit in me, working in me and through me. I hope that's your desire. Number 3, we see the fruit of soul winning. See, that's what many Christians think. Oh, yeah, you are to be attached to the vine so you can win souls for Christ. That's just one of 3. That is just one of 3. The fruit of soul winning. I tell you what, how wonderful it is to catch fish. Some Christians never, to this day, those who are living, never told somebody about Jesus and never saw somebody actually giving their life to Christ. Whatever reason, I don't know. Maybe they never tried. But I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to catch fish for Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful privilege it is to cast the net into the deep. What a wonderful privilege it is to roll that net in and that line in and see that big fish being caught. Listen, some Christians are having too much pleasure right now. Actually, some Christians out there right now celebrating Halloween. Yes, let's celebrate Halloween. Let's teach our children that a pagan holiday is wonderful. Let's go teach them. Oh, it's just candy. All right, okay. All right. Let's go teach them that all these wicked stuff is wonderful. You say, Pastor, I don't like you no more because you don't like Halloween. So be it. Let me tell you this. This man will never like Halloween, never will. But let me tell you, some Christians tonight, what they're doing is celebrating Halloween. But it is church tonight. Oh, we don't go to church tonight because we go and celebrate Halloween tonight. Be careful, because if you have little children, they are watching you, your actions, your words. And before you know, they're not going to do what you do, and they're going to do more than what you do. You take one generation to excuse himself that church, Bible, and God is not that relevant in the family life. The next generation comes along and says, yeah, I agree with you. The next generation, yeah, I agree with you. The next generation, don't go to church at all anymore. Don't believe in God and live like pagans. I tell you what, I cannot control what you do. I cannot control what you, the way you live. The only thing I can control is me. So number three, we see, and then you outline, if you want to write it down, about this this lesson tonight, it is point number three is learning about responsibility. Learning about responsibility. That's a point number three. For some, when we think about fruit bearing, we draw back thinking that it is hard and that we cannot do it. Many believers think that fruit bearing is for the super saints and for those who have arrived. Let me tell you something for the record here. There's no such thing as a super saint. Listen, superpowers and super people and superheroes are just in the Marvel books and the Marvel movies. There's no such thing as a super Christian. Let me remind you that every Christian is as strong as you are. Every Christian has the same Holy Spirit that you have if you are a Christian. And let me tell you, but every Christian has the same struggles, discouragements, doubts, and fears, and emotions. And every Christian goes through that. And this pastor goes through that as well. Because I'm not made out of steel, I'm made of flesh and blood, just like you are. But let me tell you, but if I attach myself to the vine, and if I take nourishment out of the vine, I'll tell you what, I'm going to experience the fruit. I'm going to bear fruit. I'm going to experience the joy of the Lord in my heart. I'm going to live a peaceful life that this world will never offer me. There are many Christians who try to find peace in the ways of this world and the things of this world, and they think they're going to be okay. No, you're not. Learning about responsibility. You know, we live in a world today that people run away from responsibility. So today we don't marry anymore, we shack up because we don't want the responsibility. So the woman gets pregnant, the guy walks away because he doesn't want responsibility. So we give somebody else our kids to raise up. So here comes one woman. What it does, it got pregnant. It goes and commits abortion. You know why? Because they don't want the responsibility. Now, Christians, guess what? We were given a mandate by God Almighty to what? to go and tell the world about Jesus, to live our sanctification, and to bear fruit, to have the fruit of the Spirit in us. But you know what? Many of us don't want to be responsible. So what happens in many churches? There are many people who are not reliable. The pastor can't trust them. The pastor cannot rely on them because they even when they talk with the pastor, they don't even tell the truth. How sad is that? Listen, folks, I'm not talking about the people of our church. Some people might say, well, is the people in your church this way? That's not what I'm saying. I'm just generally speaking. I had a pastor when I was in Florida that told me that. He said, so what's going on in your church? This, this, and that. Because I heard these things. I said, listen, you're a pastor. You know that we speak generally. Don't you do the same? Oh, yes, I do. So why are you ever asking the question? Because every time these days, when every time somebody that is not a member of the church, that listen to a pastor talk, the first thing you go, oh, what's going on in your church? Nothing. I'm just preaching God's word. I will go a little further. Bearing fruit is absolutely, should be an absolutely activity of every child of God. What is that one thing? The word is abide. It's mentioned six times in these verses. And I had a whole message on this word abide a week back. It is a good thing to be reminded over and over again how important it is for you and me to abide in the vine, to take nourishment out of the vine. Letter A on that third point, if you want to write it down, the responsibility to abide in the vine. It is our responsibility to abide in the vine. Listen, it's not my responsibility for you to abide in the vine. It's my responsibility for me to abide in the vine. I cannot make you live the Christian life if you don't want to. I can't. I can preach until tomorrow and you still say no. But I can't abide in the vine because it's my decision. We're talking about relationship here tonight. I can encourage you. I can be a testimony to you to follow. Each believer or each branch is responsible to abide in the vine. If you, the branch, are not bearing any fruit, you're either a If either branch don't bear any fruit, it is not God's fault, it is your fault. If we have a Christian that is don't bear any fruit, it's not God's fault, it's not my fault, it's that person's fault. He has the same Holy Spirit, he worships the same God, and let me tell you, he can bear fruit if he wants to. And amazingly, I tell you what, there's a lot of Christians out there today that they bear more worldly fruit than they bear godly fruit. The one thing required of the branches in order for fruit to be a reality is for them to abide in Jesus. If the branch abide in Jesus, let me tell you, would bear fruit for the glory of the Lord. Let it be under that third point is their will to abide. It's got to be a will. Look what it says. It says, first, you must be in Jesus. You must be saved. After that, you abide in him through prayer, study of his word, meditation upon him and his word. And let me tell you, worship and praise and totally surrender to him. If I'm going to abide in Christ, that I must draw my life from him. I must yield my will to him and allow him to live his life through me. I must come to the end of myself and realize that apart from him, I am nothing and that I can do nothing. Abiding in Jesus sounds difficult for some people, but let me tell you, it is not. Few people actually do because while it is a very simply, and some people don't do because they say it's just too costly to follow Jesus. Really? So don't just follow your own intuitions and follow the ways of the world. Maybe it's better for you. But don't come tell me, a Christian, that it's too costly to follow Jesus. If you love what you do, you would love to follow your Savior. Abiding in Jesus sounds difficult, but it is not. Few people really want to pay the price. That's the problem. A few people really want to pay the price of total surrender. Some people are not willing to sacrifice. Some people are not willing to leave the entertaining and the things that they do. So Jesus, I conclude with this, is the true vine. He exists to bring glory to his Father, the vine dresser, by saying sinner, by saying sinners, living through them and cause them to bear fruit. And let me tell you, do you want to bear fruit for Jesus? You can. And let me tell you, there's that three type of fruit that I was telling you about for us as Christians. Is the fruit of sanctification, is the fruit of the Spirit, and is the fruit of soul winning. Let me tell you, where are you, Christian, in that department? How was your sanctification walk? How's the Spirit of God working in you? When you open your mouth, is your word seasoned with salt? Or when you open your mouth, you really don't care what you say. Is your words constructive words that builds people up? Are your words godly words that build people up? Or you in the business of tearing people down? Don't you know that this tongue of ours can destroy lives? Actually, the Bible even given us a warning that tongue is the worst weapon a human being possesses. Because with the tongue, we can kill people, totally destroy people. And in my lifetime, I've seen this happen over and over again. Our people been destroyed because of the words of others. And again, I conclude about this lesson tonight about abiding in the vine. That was my last lesson, learning with the vine dresser. And let me tell you, the vine delegates the branches to bear fruit. If you are a Christian tonight, let me tell you, you are a branch in God's economy. Let me tell you this, how fruitful are you? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness and for your love and mercy. And Lord, this lesson has been in my heart for quite some time now. But I pray for your people tonight. There's only two of us here tonight, but I pray for those who are watching us. I don't know how many, but that they will consider attaching themselves to the vine in a way they never did before. And Lord, there will be fruit-bearing people. Lord, they're fruit-bearing in their sanctification walk, fruit-bearing by allowing the Spirit of God to work in them and through them, and fruit-bearing by telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, give us a good night. And as I go home, Lord, I just pray that you give me a safe drive. And I pray for our people, especially those who are sick among us. Lord, heal their bodies. Heal their bodies, Lord. And Lord, for all of us Christians, help us to be spiritual warriors for you. And learn, Lord, heal us of our apathy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with us tonight. And I encourage you tonight to, those of you who are sick, you might not be able to do that, but those of you who are healthy, strive to reach 5. Give a tract to somebody this week. Give a tract to someone. Tell them about Jesus. But for those of you who are sick, I prayed and I continue to pray for you that you would, the Lord will heal you. And I will try, and I've been trying to do is call each one of you every day just to let you know that I love you. And that I care, and that I know what you're going through, because I went through the same thing. But be encouraged. The Lord is good. Trust Him. And let's pray for one another. Pray for our church that we will grow both physically and spiritually in this place. And I'm looking forward to see you this coming Sunday. We'll make sure we clean this place up and disinfect this place, make sure that no one gets sick, and we can go back to our be together as a church family. You have a wonderful night, and go and serve the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly. Have a good night.